Well, the next one is a record from that Asian Underground moment. I mean, the Knitting Tawny we just played is from last year. This is, I suppose, from the sort of historical tail end of that moment. And this is a Bally Sagu record. And Bally Sagu is a Birmingham-born, a British Pakistani producer, really arguably the sort of cult producer of the very early Asian Underground moment, because he came out of, I mean, before anybody was talking about the so-called Asian Underground, and really before it got this quite middle-class audience and reputation because of the popularity of people like Knitting Tawny and Talvin Singh, with a sort of, you know, jazzy sort of upper-middle-class London audience. It was Bally Sagu who had a much more working-class audience coming out of the urban, the Bhangra scene. Bhangra is like the main form of dance music popular with the mainly Pakistani and Bangladeshi youth in the late 80s and early 90s. Really interesting style. So draws a little bit on Bollywood, a little bit on hip-hop, a little bit on techno. Really interesting. And Bally Sagu comes out of that scene, comes out of Birmingham, becomes well known for his mixtapes, for example, and his mixes. Very few of his mixes then were ever actually released on vinyl, because within that scene, initially music was all circulated only on cassette, during the high point of the cassette, and then stuff was only really released on CD. There wasn't a big vinyl culture. So it's always been a big effort to track down this stuff on vinyl. But this was a vinyl release from 2000. So the track is called Noori, N-O-O-R-I-E. And I have tried to find out like what it means, what the lyrics are. And I have found a website. I have no idea at all if this is accurate or authoritative. But it claimed that the song, it was really confusing, actually. But it has something, it's a love song, but it's also a sad love song involving somebody having died and sort of come back as a ghost. It wasn't clear to me whether the ghost is singing, but there's something ghostly involved. And really apologise for not having any more accurate information about that. I should have found a friend who spoke Hindi and got them to translate it for me. Anyway, it is a really haunting piece of music that brings together the kind of Bollywood style of very virtuosic singing, which itself has its roots mainly in the Carnatic style, vocal style of southern India. And it brings that together with a kind of hip-hop beat to produce a very affecting piece of music. And this is a classic Bally Sagu style. This is the album version, and it features, I should say, the vocalist is only ever listed as Gunjan. Gunjan seems to have been a vocalist who was active on the Bhangra scene just around the early 2000s. That's all the information I've been able to find. Gunjan is itself just a really common name, Indian subcontinent name, which I think can be masculine or feminine from what I know. So I haven't been able to find any information more about Gunjan. But this is the track. Let's hear a bit of it. This is Noori, the album version by Bally Sagu, featuring Gunjan. Okay, Tim, what did you make of that?
Yeah, I really like it. It's a great, I really like the productions. It has a kind of trip-hoppy feel to it, I guess, which you were alluding to.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Without it being explicitly trip-hop, it has that energy and that atmosphere, I think. And it's very effective. And it's quite a subtle piece of music, actually. Production's really interesting. It kind of just goes through these different changes and introduces these elements in quite a subtle but quite unusual way.
I think that's all true, but I would also say the vocal, when it really gets going, lends it a real intensity. I played this on a dance floor, and it's very intense.
Yeah.
And that's something which the Bally Sagu productions for me always made them stand out from, say, the Bristol trip hop, which the Bristol trip hop was the other big part of that sort of multicultural self-consciously cosmopolitan continuum that we were talking about before, actually, and it was really important. But for me, a lot of the time, I mean, it was what you would expect from Bristol, you know, the town in the UK which sort of has a reputation for being the home of like stone slackers. And it, you know, it has this kind of stoned,
a big black population as well, no?
Yeah, as well. Yeah, that's right. But a lot of that Bristol trip hop, it has this, you know, people, especially the white, really white trip hop, people like Palsy said, it has this kind of, has this very cool, smooth quality that never quite takes off for me. And Bally Sagu is doing similar things at the level of the beats and the production, but the vocals, he's always bringing in these Bollywood vocals, which have this searing intensity. And
you're absolutely right. The vocal is very powerful. And I also like the production a great deal. And there's one thing which was also interesting about this, I hadn't quite kind of clocked at the time, but this was called indie pop, I believe. But this is not indie, I-N-D-I-E pop, as we would generally know it, but it's indie as in Indian pop, I-N-I-N-D-I pop.
Well, it was always difficult to classify Bally Sagu because he was very clearly influenced by hip-hop. It was this synthesis of hip-hop and Bhangra and Bollywood music, which really no one else ever did. No one else ever did exactly that synthesis. So all the other people who did that sort of thing, people like Talvin Singh and Nitin Sawhney, they brought in a lot more like Indian classical music. And Bally Sagu did a bit of drum and bass. There's a drum and bass mix on this EP, and I'm not sure he even made it, but it was never that convincing. So he had this very specific signature style, which brought together the hip-hop beats with these elements of a kind of stripped-down Bhangra and this Bollywood style, which was really, really affecting, and it was really great. I mean, I think he's still active as a producer. I keep saying was, and he's like, this was, you know, I haven't followed his career at all. I know he's still active, and he's a completely iconic DJ, I'm sure, within a particular scene. But there's a very interesting question about that sort of Bhangra scene that I don't know, even... Like the people I know who would know about it are much younger than me, and they don't. I've asked them, and they don't know about it. So it was quite culturally visible for a really brief moment, like when I was an undergraduate in London in the early 90s, and then it sort of stopped being very culturally visible once people like Nitin Sawhney and Talvin Singh started getting all the attention from your white middle class music journalists, and I don't know what became of it. But my sense has always been that Bally Sagu sort of, I don't know what other used word other than authentically. He really authentically belonged to this sort of not entirely middle class Asian club scene and music scene, the centre of the world of which was really in the Midlands more than in London. And that's all I know about it, really. I really should know more about it because he's a very talented producer. And I know that it was always the opinion of colleagues like Ash, indeed, that it was Bally Sagu was the real pioneer of that whole Asian sound in Britain, that people like Talvin Singh ended up sort of being more associated with in a lot of people's minds.